Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! Rebel Radio presents the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, then he's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hunter!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my...
Welcome, everybody, to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. We are back, and guys, we are less than two weeks. We are less than 2 motherfucking weeks till WrestleMania 40. And it's Scotty Villa, Paralegal Mike, UK Tom. Guys, less than 2 weeks till Mania, and we're all pretty jazzed and ready to go for a reason. A hell of a Monday Night Raw last night. After a bit of a subpar, initially what was a subpar SmackDown, but now I think that was done on purpose. But guys, how are we feeling? Less than 2 weeks for Mania.
Mania season, good. Baby.
Feeling pretty good. pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Dudes, let's get into it. I want to start with Monday Night Raw from last night. And I want to start with three guys who really showed up for the Chicago crowd last night. I'm talking, obviously, CM Punk, talking Drew McIntyre, and I'm talking Seth Rollins. I'm not calling him Seth freaking Rollins. Let's get him back to just being Seth Rollins. But Punk comes out to a Chicago crowd. Big pop, obviously. Huge crowd in Chicago. 15,000 people. They had to downsize the Raw stagings, big screen and everything to sell more tickets, which I loved. I don't think it looked great TV-wise, but great for them. We got Punk coming out. Big pop. Talking to the crowd. Saying he's going to be at Mania and he doesn't care what he's doing. And as we've seen in the last few weeks, I'd say last couple months, I guess since January, Drew McIntyre has been talking a lot of shit about CM Punk on TV and on social media. We got a hell of a back and forth from Punk and Drew McIntyre. And I said it, I think, on the little TikTok video I put out on our socials a little bit earlier today, but it was very interesting being in the group chat with you fellas. For once, Paralegal Mike was the guy on the ball, the guy that knew everything that was happening. Meanwhile, myself and UK Tom were a little bit behind, so we were all staggered and watching it at different times. Mike, you were hyped for this, dude. What'd you think?
All right, so worried again because CM Punk came out and did the same CM Punk shtick, but that lasted all of a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Then we got rolling. I know UK Tom has had issues with Drew McIntyre promos. This is a great Drew McIntyre promo. You are actually put with someone who could help you in that promo. I don't know if you agree or not, Tom, but it felt good. It felt like Drew is hitting his stride on the mic, but with a dance partner like CM Punk, it's hard to really drop the ball.
The line of the century for me was CM Punk and the "Who chose you?"
Yeah.
And the look of absolute horror and panic on not just Drew McIntyre, who was still sitting on the announce table, But Michael Cole's face.
Oh,
fantastic. And I 100% believe that that was probably the best promo we will see this year.
Do you think, real quick, because it felt a very little bit of a shoot from the hip kind of promo. How much do you think those guys shot from the hip compared to going out there and doing what they were told to do?
I don't think anyone is telling CM Punk a fucking thing other than, hey, can you hit these points for us? I'm almost certain that that was 100% all shoot from the hip from all three of them. They had their bullet points and that's it.
I think you're seeing the freedom. I mean, maybe not so much in the main event picture, but here when CM Punk's involved, I agree with UK Tom. I think there's a lot to be led on that. Yeah, these guys don't like CM Punk, but I think different locker room CM Punk going out there. Because these guys, they knew, because rebuttals were quick, and I think they had that conversation like, hey, if we're going to do it, we're going to do it. Like, if you're going to come out with hate, let's play. Let's play ball. Let's do work. And it's going to work out well for WWE. Your world heavyweight picture looks awesome after WrestleMania. Like, you have the goods going into SummerSlam. Like, this promo just sets up such potential matches that will get WWE Universe excited and ready for every major show after. I mean, Seth, when he came out in the promo, maybe not the strongest part of the promo, still really liked it. And it's hilarious to me that I loved a promo so much to just have someone announced for WrestleMania commentary.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane that I was popping so huge. It's like, this guy's just going to sit in commentary. We all thought, like, we talked about in our group chat, like, the arm thing's coming off. Like, it's going to be a triple threat. Like, that promo had that much heat to make me believe, no, he's going to work WrestleMania.
Got a little, I don't want to say bummed out, but when Seth came out, I kind of felt like we don't need Seth right now, even though Drew's the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. I was like, oh, we're going to get a lot of the dumb laugh and the dancing and the fucking song. And this segment doesn't need it. This segment feels as close to a work and shoot as you can kind of get in the Fed that we've seen in a very long time. Seth came out and I'm glad he dialed that back. The Seth Riggin Rollins part, dialed that back for talking to Punk. And then he got the physicality in with Drew, which I was like, ah, damn it. Like, Drew, I don't think Drew needs to be taken out in front of CM Punk like that. I just don't. They paid it off later on where Drew got Seth back, which I loved because now it's even again, right? And I felt like Drew and Seth have been going back and forth and back and forth. So great job on Monday Night Raw for connecting dots and not leaving us with just, you get one appearance of this person and that's it. You're not going to see him again until next week or maybe on SmackDown or anything like that. I love seeing that. Tom, go ahead.
The thing for me that, like, I was surprised for myself was I wasn't disappointed when he didn't rip the arm brace off. Like, that's what I wanted, but I wasn't bummed out that it didn't happen. That's how good that this promo was. Like Mike said, just to announce that somebody is going to come to WrestleMania and talk.
Did you like it when Drew said, well, you're counting arms in your little brace there, and then CM Punk went down and counted with the other hands? Did you like that? I kind of felt like Drew needed that one little bit to kind of just be like a bit of a jab, a poke in the bear thing. Sometimes I don't need Punk to always have the one-up rebuttal.
When you can't work in the ring, you have to have something.
Yeah.
But Punk is great at talking, but at the same time, I still feel like every now and then you need to give Punk, he needs to dial back a bit so he's got a little bit more fuel later on. Whenever he can come back or whenever he can do his thing. I didn't really like the pinning thing because I kind of thought of it was a giant fuck you when I thought Drew was cooking really well and needed that heel heat kind of thing where the crowd went, oh man, you're right. The bad guy is right with you. Great bad guy is kind of always right all the time. But anyway, that was just a nitpick. Other than that, awesome.
The free count from Punk was actually my second favorite part of the whole promo.
Really?
I popped like crazy for that. And usually I would agree with you, Scott, that the heel needs to be right sometimes. But for me, CM Punk is the only exception to that rule. And that is because he is so good on the mic, and it's almost like his line, your arms are too short to box with God. Yeah. Like, he's not dialing back his promos. You have to step the fuck up. And if you don't, he is going to trample all over you.
It's true. Tom, you said it best. That guy's biggest weapon is his ability to talk. Late in career Punk in ring, even from AEW, it's not my favorite work. I mean, we can all be honest here. I don't think this is the same CM Punk that we remember from his WWE days. But this run, him talking is important. And I think when they brought old Pepsi Phil back, a lot of what he was going to be doing was talking. He's to be utilized even outside of just in-ring promos. If Phil keeps his head above water and does right by this run, he can be the next at the commentary desk.
I was just going to say, I think that's what's next. I don't think Pat McAfee is on commentary for the long, long term. I think we get 2 years of Pat, then he goes off and does his stuff. CM Punk then goes and sits at the table and can be used kind of like the King used to be, but on a bigger scale. You know, the King used to get in the ring every now and again, and it was a fun little thing, and it got people over. Whereas Punk can do that with the high mid-carders, and it would be great.
So next week we're doing our WrestleMania preview show, which, guys, just a heads up, it might be a bit of a megasode because there's two nights, a lot of matches, so be prepared. Punk's on commentary for the World Heavyweight Championship match between Seth and Drew. How involved does he get involved? Does he need to get involved? What involvement physically or with the turnout of the match does CM Punk have in this?
We talked in the group chat, and I think he will get involved. I do. I don't think you make this 20-minute promo a thing just for him to sit at the desk, right? Like, you can decide if you want old Pepsi Phil to be a heel. It's your night to do it. Like, I mean, who is he costing? How do we move forward? Like, Punk is the next in that equation for that title, regardless of the outcome. And I think we all think it's Drew, and like, that's great. But I think we all wanted Punk Seth. I think if you cost Seth, that weight means more to bridge the gap between then and SummerSlam to get a shot at Drew. Like, you can have Drew just not even face either at that point and just build a match Punk versus Seth for the shot. Like, that's a match we want more. Like, no one's thinking Punk Drew. Like, as much as like Drew has brought on a great amount of heat with this CM Punk stuff, the match the fans wanted was Punk and Seth. That's what the second he came back and we saw what happened, we're like, there we go. Mania's booked itself. But now we're like, oh, but Drew is getting this significant amount of heat towards Punk. Like, good. But I would think he gets involved and costs someone the title.
I don't think he gets involved in the actual match. I think after the match is over and Drew has won the title, CM Punk gets in the ring, gets in his face, and drops Drew with the GTS.
Yeah. Okay.
To set up the SummerSlam. In my
wild, wild. I don't know. I think Drew wins, and then I think Drew takes out Punk. Like, I think in a way they're going to kind of give Drew his moment, and then Punk's going to be standing up. Drew's going to do some shit talking in front of Punk on the floor in front of the announcer's table. Punk's going to go to sit down, and Drew's going to like mafia kick him right in the face and then walk out just to get even more heat and then walk out and run away like a coward. I could see something like that too, but
could also switch my idea, keep it the same. Like, Punk gets in his face, but Drew takes down Punk with a claymore.
Yeah.
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 That would work just as well.
And that's probably safer for Punk's arm.
Good call. Very good call. We got to move on to the other big moments and essentially what I'm calling the main event storyline of Raw, SmackDown, and what will be WrestleMania is we saw Cody Rhodes cutting a promo at the opening of Raw in Chicago. Big pop, big whoa, crowd fully behind him coming out. And initially what I felt was trying to make up for the lackluster face-to-face with Cody and Roman on SmackDown. People didn't like that interview. Myself, I didn't. There was a couple things that I did like. like the whole trust angle, but I feel like that's wrestling 101. Like, you know, if you're teaming with a partner that's kind of your enemy, do you trust them? They had to lay that foundation, but other than that, we didn't get very much of a back and forth, aggressive face to face. Cody's coming out. I felt like he was trying to redeem himself a little bit, talking a lot of shit about Cody and or about Roman and The Rock. And then that music hits. We get a surprise appearance from The Rock, unadvertised, which doesn't happen very much unless it's Mania season, I guess, if you really want to put it that way. But we didn't get any advertisement of The Rock. All we know is he's going to be there next week in Brooklyn with Roman on Raw. Rock comes out. Neither one of the gentlemen have a microphone as they're staring each other down, which I thought was great. I'm like, cool, you're giving us that shot. I thought they were going to commercial break. But Rock leaned in, said a few words to Cody, and bounced. Cody looked confused, aggravated, annoyed, and that was it, boys. That's how they started Monday Night Raw. Initial reaction was, what the fuck? You're giving us The Rock? And like we said in the earlier in the show, Paralegal Mike was ahead. He knew everything that was happening basically in real time. I was delayed a little bit, and Tom was delayed even more than I was. You got to figure out your PBR issue, dude. Like, you've got some issues going on.
Watch on Twitter.
Thanks. So initially, when we get that, I'm thinking The Rock said something, and then I fully believed it was to help Cody. Because it looked like Cody was confused for a little bit, in my opinion. He looked aggravated and annoyed, but he looked confused. I thought, we're getting a swerve. Like, that's the beginning of the seeds planting for a swerve at Mania. Did anyone else think anything remotely close to that?
Tom, go ahead.
I thought he maybe said something like, stick to the plan, or something like that. Because remember, at the start of all of this, Cody was talking about how he talked to the legends and that The Rock was one of them. That's how The Rock came back. And then it all went to a bit crazy in Vegas, but I just figured it was like, stick to the plan. We talked about this.
Well, I would love that. Mike, did you have any things, or did you just watch it and it was what it was?
Just watched. And like, and the best part is, like, again, I'm not sitting through 3 hours. Sometimes I wish I did, because there were some great matches that I had to catch up on Monday Night Raw as well. No. At this point, it's heel Rock, and thank God for the Twitterverse. Those people are crazy.
Yeah.
When you have people who can read lips coming out, and it came down to, I'm going to make you fucking bleed tonight, was what that crazy kind of audience got. And even before I knew, because that didn't break right away. So I hated it. I absolutely hated it. You, as much as you don't like when The Rock's coming out and he's doing sing-song and doing that kind of stuff, I love that persona of that Hollywood Rock character. I do. I really dig it. This close to Mania, when they did this, I was like, you gotta be fucking joking me. But discussing it at real time with Scotty, where I'm like, he's got to beat down Cody. Like, he to make this promo work, he's got to beat down Cody. And again, real worried as the show went on.
Well,
because they really kept away from it. They were smart on Monday Night Raw. Here's the promo. The show is going to continue.
So I'd watched it before Tom, and we were in real time. So I text Mike on the side and being like, okay, I've watched it. I don't know what he said, but I think he's going to help Cody. But I also had said, I'm bringing this up on the pod tomorrow. I'm getting sick and tired of them giving us one segment of the main eventers for WrestleMania and then never coming back to those guys again. When we were growing up in the Attitude Era, fellas, we'd see Stone Cold or Triple H or The Rock cutting a promo at the beginning of the show and then being involved in the main event, and then shenanigans, beatdowns, progression of storylines, people getting thrown off bridges, all that fun stuff would happen at the end of that show. And I was like, oh, we got a 3-hour Raw in Chicago, a hot crowd. You bring out The Rock in a surprise. He doesn't even talk on the microphone and he bails. What the fuck? You guys can't keep doing this. This is such Vince bullshit. Like, it's not needed anymore. And holy shit, did I eat my hat later on. Because in the main event, it is main event Jey Uso in the main event. That's my guy. I love that guy. Against Shinsuke Nakamura. Very good TV match. Very good. Obviously, Bloodline guys come out to attack Jey. Cody comes out to help Jey out. And he's fighting with Jimmy and they kind of go into the backstage area, and then The Rock comes out to a quite a shocking response from the crowd. The Rock comes out of nowhere and takes Cody down. And it's a pretty solid beat down. Garbage cans being thrown, a lot of shit talking. The Rock's got to pick up on his shit talking. He keeps saying the same one or two lines over and over again. But he's 50. He's an old man. Shit's going to happen, right? We get the beat down. It leads to the outside area, up against the bus, and then we get the blood. Cody Rhodes is busted open. Then we get The Rock real heated, talking a lot of shit, dropping F-bombs on television. Guys, everything blew up from there. If you were looking at social media, the moment that happened, everyone's saying the best Raw they've seen in the last 25 years. And they may have, they have a very good right to think and say that, because it's been such a long time since we've got anything this personal, this deep. Because let's be honest, this storyline's been going on for 2 years now. So, guys, we're getting blood. We're getting Attitude Era-esque beatdowns. The Rock's involved. Guys.
I thought it was great. I also, it's a small thing, and they obviously can't control it, but I thought the rain made it so much better.
Yeah, agreed.
And like, and Cody's out there in his fancy ass clothes, and then I'm like, oh, that's Cody's bus. That's convenient. And then he's being bounced off of it. And I did have a little worry for about 30 seconds because they were by the loading dock. Yeah. And I'm like, if Cody takes a bump off of that, it's going to really annoy me. Because like, that's really far down, and they don't write people off of TV anymore. So yeah, he'll be back next week. That will annoy me. And then he started bouncing him off the bus. And like, we knew from AEW that Cody knows how to wield that blade. He knows what he's, and he's also a Rhodes. So they're, yeah, they're great bleeders. I do have one tiny little Scott level nitpick. It upset me. So I don't know if anybody else noticed, but when they scanned, shot behind The Rock while he was talking, and you could see Cody on the road case, he was kind of bent over it. I was like, oh, he's gigging.
Yeah.
It's weird you say that, because I thought there was opportune times to pull that off. The second he went out the door, I thought, now you're gigging. This is where you're going to do it. Like, because they kept that door closed so long when they were going outside. He had just taken a garbage can to the head. I'm like, this is your window. Like, get it out. And maybe something went wrong. Maybe it was on the fly. Like, we need you. We got to push you over here now. But I thought that door one was it. Like, that was okay. This is where he's getting some color. No, but they waited. But you know what? For the small nitpicks, this is weird coming from the Bland Brothers, everyone's favorite tag team. I was absolutely in love with how they got every important match at WrestleMania involved in one segment. Oh, yeah. So when you have Drew and Seth touching, when you have the Bloodline, so you have Jimmy and Jay in there as well. And then obviously you have Rock and Cody. The one equation that was missing was Roman. So it's awesome going in for the heel that Roman is in this, is that he wasn't there. But it also, so again, your babyface didn't need solidifying, but if you're not feeling for the babyface after the beatdown, I can't help you. Like, this is true wrestling. Like, this is how you're going to get your babyface over. Now, the real question. Cody got his ass kicking. Loved it. We all know Paralegal Mike was there for it. Loving it. Also, callback, brought the weight belt out.
Yep.
Put the blood on it. I'm sorry. It's those little things where I'm just like, God damn, Hunter. You are cooking, and when you get your head set on a plan, you're like, this is what we're doing. You're doing it. If you guys want to go, we're doing it. Worked out perfectly. Now, we got three more shows until we are at the big one. How does Cody get The Rock before the match?
Oof, I would say no.
I'm also saying no.
I don't want to say he should try and like jump The Rock or anything like that, but I think next Monday in Brooklyn, Rock and Roman are going to be there. Obviously, so Cody and Seth are going to be there. That face-to-face needs to happen. They need to go off the air with those guys throwing fists. don't stop it. It make people want to tune in and buy Peacock or the network or the pay-per-view is full. And that's how you end it, because I'm pretty sure SmackDown is going to be like it was last year, where that's where they have the battle royals and like a basically a pre-show the night before. So it is basically just the Monday Night Raw next week, which I think is the last show. I think you can tease it. I think you better have Cody coming out on SmackDown, definitely on SmackDown, if not on Raw, calling everybody out. He better be bandaged up. But I would love to see, if he comes out on SmackDown, I would love to see Jimmy Uso just feed him a super kick, bring Solo up, beat him down again, and have him just, I don't want him writhing in pain. I want him motionless on the mat. That's how I want it.
The thing for me is, I think at Mania, that's when The Rock returns the blade. And he's going to be juicing in that main event.
I think so too. I think you save it for the main event now. Like, he's not just going to do that on TV. Sorry.
The thing I think for Raw is that would be the perfect time for them to do that thing where they run all the referees out, the referees get thrown around, and then they start running out the wrestlers to keep them apart from each other.
I got to be honest. I don't want to see that. I want to see these four guys throwing hands.
Oh, I want to see them get each other.
But no, it'll then, be... You're right. I think UK Tom's right. Like, they're going to get broken up. You picture like your main event. Yeah, just the tip. overall, like, I have to say, when I'm done watching stuff from Monday Night Raw, I'm usually not as positive. Because, yeah, like, I think the show already is too long, but they are really dialed in at this point. Like, if we were already excited for the night one main event, and obviously we're looking forward to Cody maybe finishing the story. I hope he loses, but I am now 100% invested. You could fuck up on Monday and I'm still invested because of what happened this week.
I love it.
It won't ruin my excitement after what I just saw on Monday night.
I love it. Guys, great job. Great recap of everything. Let us know what you think of what happened on Monday Night Raw. I threw up a little video on the social medias talking about it, and I told people, hey, if you have any thoughts, comment. And I just want to read one real quick here on
like that amateur hour.
Yeah, right. It from Slate Pro Prefontaine on Instagram said, it felt like everyone was giving 100%. Even the non-main event moments felt big. It goes on with Candice LeRae, of course. Cody and The Rock delivered as well. CM Punk, Drew, and Seth. Dude, overall, just loved Monday Night Raw. Thought everybody crushed it. So that was great to see. Sheldon on Twitter at In My House Pod. Really can't say there was any misses from last night. Everything on the card continued stories along. The framing of Cena and Austin on the truck behind Cody beatdown is hopefully something great. A lot of people are talking about that.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
A lot of people are talking about that. Can I be honest? I don't think I want to see it. I don't think we need it. I really don't.
I don't think it makes sense, but any chance to see Austin, I'll take it.
Agreed.
I mean, yeah, all of us are going to... That glass breaks, you're out of your seat. Like
that glass breaks, I'll pee.
So again, thanks to everybody for reaching out. Again, at In My House Pod on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. That's where you'll find us. Guys, time to have a little bit of fun here. It's the last show before the WrestleMania preview show, which is going to be a mega episode because we got two nights of matches to cover and preview, and we can't wait. It's usually, honestly, our biggest show of the year and the biggest listens, so we're pretty pumped about that. UK Tom, the floor is yours.
Okay, so just before I ask you this week's pop quiz question, I'll just quickly throw out that I listened to an hour of Becky Lynch's book today. It is fantastic. I highly recommend.
Whoa.
I highly recommend. She's very open, very honest. And there's a lot of little stories in there that even with my knowledge of the UK scene, I didn't know.
Wild. My wife actually picked up the audiobook as well today. So.
It is very, very good.
Nice.
Okay, so are we jumping in with the pop quiz question?
Let's do the pop quiz.
Yeah.
Okay, so this week, question is it's a little bit old school, so
how many points is this worth?
1 point.
Okay, I get one. Mike gets two. He has two questions to get 1 point.
So, at the 1994 Royal Rumble, it was The Undertaker versus Yokozuna in a casket match. Then all of the heels beat the shit out of Taker, and Taker lost. And then just after the match, a Undertaker raised up into the arena. And yeah, obviously the real Undertaker was in the casket. So the question is, who was the Undertaker that raised above the arena?
Artie Jannetty. Oh.
Boom.
Correct.
The Shawn Michaels of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
No.
Picked the Mike Cote, the paralegal Mike of the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Got the answer right.
I'll be honest, Scott. That was one of my questions that I thought would get you.
No,
I
not,
just learned that within the last year.
Oh, that's perfect. I feel like you two are in cahoots. Make me look like a fool.
Bland Brothers, baby. Never forget.
Yeah, the Bland Brothers. All right. And another fun pop quiz that I'm not winning. So Scott is in the lead for pop quizzes, not booking of the year. So just pop quizzes. Here we go. It's our last WrestleMania segment before the big show or preview show. So don't expect a fun WrestleMania feature segment. We are now doing our WrestleMania hidden gems. Now, I didn't see if we classified this to just matches. I did just matches myself.
I did too.
Yeah, I don't know if it's moments or whatever you wanted to do, but we've got 8 minutes here. Scotty Villa, what is your number three hidden gem from WrestleMania?
My number three hidden gem is from WrestleMania 18. It is Kane versus Kurt Angle.
Ooh.
I always enjoy watching that match when I'm going back and watching WrestleMania 18, or I'm just looking for a random WrestleMania match. That one hits home for me. I don't know what it is about it. I love the way Kane looks. I love the way Kurt Angle looks. And those guys, Kurt Angle's throwing bombs left and right. He's kind of like the Shane McMahon of pro wrestling when it comes to just laying shit in. So that's my number three, Kurt Angle versus Kane from WrestleMania 18.
UK Tom, your number three hidden gem from WrestleMania.
My number three is from WrestleMania 7. So we're going way back. And it's the opener of WrestleMania 7. It's the Barbarian and Hawk Who versus the Rockers.
So good. On my list. It was on my list.
Such a
it didn't make my top three, but
it's such a fun little tag team match, and it just shows how good all four of those wrestlers are. Obviously, we all know Shawn's great, but the Barbarian and Hawk, who I think are often forgotten, which I don't think is fair.
No, it's not.
Mike?
My number three, as a paralegal, obviously you guys know who I am. I have Kurt Angle versus Chris Benoit, WrestleMania 17.
Redacted.
Hell of a match.
Redacted.
It's hard to say because obviously, you know, that tragedy.
Yeah.
It's a hell of a match.
Yeah.
On an already the best WrestleMania, in my opinion. My favorite WrestleMania.
I watched it the other day.
And that match too, like, I think went like 14 minutes. Yeah. Those guys fucking went. Like, that is what I picture pro wrestling as, is what those guys did. It's an incredible match. I mean, go back and watch it unless you're, you know, really in that camp of like, I can't watch this anymore. Separate the art from the artist, man. Like, I'm not Shane Douglasing it and hopping in a ring, getting people to chant Chris Benoit, but the match is great. All righty, Scotty Villa, your number two WrestleMania hidden gem.
My number two WrestleMania hidden gem is from WrestleMania 32. It is the Intercontinental Championship ladder match.
What, number two?
With Zack Ryder, Dolph Ziggler, Kevin Owens, Stardust, The Miz, Sami Zayn, and Sin Cara. Look, WrestleMania 32 gets a lot of hate for specific reasons, which is wasn't a great main event. And it's in that era of holy fuck. But I love that match. I think it's up there with the top two ladder matches of Mania when it comes to multi-man kind of Money in the Bank or championship match like this. It is a great match because up until that, the few WrestleManias before, those ladder matches were spot fests. And this one was a lot more fun. So yeah, WrestleMania 32, Intercontinental Championship ladder match.
Also my number two. So we don't need to go into it. It was also my number two.
Awesome.
UK Tom, your number two.
My number two is from WrestleMania 12, which is quite often the forgotten WrestleMania.
I love that movie too.
This match gets shit on quite a bit because it didn't really have a finish, but it's Goldust versus Rowdy Roddy Piper. And it was kind of a little bit of a gimmick, but
dude, that was awesome.
But they beat the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've read both of their books, and like Piper broke his hand on Goldust's head.
They went hard way pretty much the whole time, yeah, right?
And like Goldust, for his goofy gimmick, that match is what made him one of my favorites. So that is my second.
That's a
gem.
Great. It's a great pick.
Love it,
Scotty Villa. It's time. It's time for your number one hidden gem from WrestleMania.
My number one hidden gem is from WrestleMania 7, and it's one that I, as a kid, absolutely loved, bought into. And going back and watching it now, I still go back and watch it now because the crowd buys into it as much as I did as a kid. It is the blindfold match. Rick the Model Martel versus Jake the Snake Roberts, both wearing hoods because a couple months earlier, Rick the Model Martel sprayed Jake in the eyes with the perfume. Jake wearing contacts to look like he's got no eyeball anymore. It's just white. The storytelling leading up to it, I can remember it like it was yesterday. And I loved that match. Absolutely love it. That is my hidden gem. If you go into it without overthinking anything, and you just sit back and watch it for the fun, that's it. Go enjoy WrestleMania 7 blindfold match with Rick the Model Martel and Jake the Snake Roberts. UK Tom?
UK Tom, it's time. Your number one hidden gem from WrestleMania is...
I'm so curious.
I actually will put this in my top three favorite matches of all time.
Wow.
Here we go.
And this is one of the few matches I go back to watch a lot. And it's from WrestleMania 17. And it is the Big Show versus Kane versus Raven for the hardcore title. And I just love the fact, the little story behind it, that Kane nearly took WrestleMania off the air whilst trying to drive that golf cart.
Damn close.
And Raven going through a window, and then all you hear for the next couple of minutes while Kane and Big Show are working is, and Raven's just in a mess. One of the funnest hardcore matches of all time. And like Kane flying off the stage, it's just, you got to watch it. It's great.
It's probably one of the best hardcore matches of WrestleMania history when it comes to like that hardcore championship, because after that, even or before that, was just a bunch of schmoz stuff, right, of multiple guys. So great job,
24/7 stuff.
Yeah, Paralegal Mike, your number one hidden gem from WrestleMania.
My number one is Randy Orton versus Seth Rollins, WrestleMania 31. If you want to talk about a match that, yeah, it had two stars in it, that in my opinion may have had match of the night, and it shouldn't have, considering the star power on that card, that was the match. That's Damn. The moment. It. I think that helps solidify, like, oh, we're doing Mania. Like, we're going to go to WrestleMania. Like, if this is the kind of stuff that is happening at WrestleMania, we're going to WrestleMania. I think 31 is an excellent WrestleMania. Like, just period. Like, I really enjoy WrestleMania 31. I like 31 more than 32, and I was there. Like, I like 32 because I was there for it. But 31 is an awesome, awesome WrestleMania. And that match specifically, just unbelievable talents doing unbelievable things.
That RKO.
That RKO.
Best RKO ever. I don't care what anybody says. It is the best, most athletic RKO out there. The ones where guys are just falling off the top rope and Randy catches them, they're fine. They're cool. It's a big height. But
it popped him.
It popped
He Seth didn't up. Go for the pin.
Yeah.
He literally was just, we got it. We got it. Like, could you would you get something? And if they went backstage like, Randy, look at this, he'd go, yep.
Yeah.
Feather in my cap. That's some of the best work I'm ever going to do.
Let us know some of your hidden gems, again, on our socials at In My Host Pod. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Guys, one of the most important things right now is rating and reviewing on Spotify, on whatever platform you can listen to us on. That helps us out immensely. So do that as well and hit that share button. Guys, we're doing a Mania preview show next week. Be prepared, boys. Be prepared. Mania's in less than 2 weeks. Thanks for listening to the show. For Paralegal Mike, UK Tom, I am Scotty Villa. This has been In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Welcome to my house. We don't have to go on.
Welcome to my house.
It's my house.
Yowie wowie.